So there is no question, place really matters. And I just want to explore some general principles and the evidence of what works. So firstly, it's clear that there is some research and innovation that can only be done in particular places. And a good example of that is actually astronomy, where if you're going to do either optical or radio astronomy in this day and age, you have to do it where there is a low background of human optical and radio activity. And of course, there's not too much of that in the UK now, but we have a very important history. And so Jodrell Bank, seminal in the development of radio astronomy, is the site of the headquarters of the Square Kilometre Array. And of course, not far from that, at Daresbury, is an important partnership between IBM and UK Research and Innovation around big data. And of course, what the Square Kilometre Array will generate is enormous, astronomical amounts of data. And that's going to be really important. And of course, one of the underlying pillars of the industrial strategy is data science and artificial intelligence. So there are huge opportunities. Other science can only happen where the environment is right. And so if you look at the seas and the oceans, our strengths in research and innovation are in places like Lowestoft, where CFAS is based, Bangor, very powerful in marine biology, St Andrews, Southampton, and Plymouth. And these are all places where the economy is challenged at the moment, and we have to take the great advantage and the opportunity of the strengths that we have there to build the links between academia, industry, and local government. If you look at agricultural, animal, and plant health, again, proximity to the environment really matters. And so, for example, the enormous strengths in plant science and health in Norwich, the work that Siemens is doing in partnership at the University of Lincoln in a very important agricultural area. In renewable energy in the northeast, where we have an enormous amount of wind power, we have the offshore renewable energy catapult, and again, huge opportunities. So critical mass matters as well. And so when you look at our infrastructure, we have the Harwell cluster, which brings together some of the most powerful research and innovation infrastructure in the world. You look up in the northwest at Sellafield, where we have obviously the history of nuclear energy around Sellafield itself, but we have the National Nuclear Laboratory. People with skills cluster as well, and we should recognise the importance of that, the sort of human gravitational waves that mean that people will cluster where there is congruent expertise. And that's important, we shouldn't ignore it. And then I think it's the other levers as well, so the importance of transport, but not just transport of people, the importance of e-infrastructure, because increasingly you can use facilities at places like Harwell remotely as well. But obviously the key topic of tonight is place in relation to the economy of UK and the industrial strategy. And Ken's Gates has just summarised some of the dramatic regional inequalities and, of course, the massive dominance of London and the South East vis-a-vis the rest of the country. And the challenge, of course, is areas where there's low levels of innovation. And I think a second critical issue as well, which is low diffusion of technology. So if you look at every sector of our economy, you'll find the gap between the most productive and the least productive companies is larger than almost all of the other OECD comparators. And that's an important part of the diagnosis as well. There's the challenge of migration out of skills and a low skills equilibrium. But frankly, this is oversimplifying the story very dramatically. Because if you look across the country, there are globally excellent clusters distributed the length and breadth of the UK. So in Belfast, for example, there's enormous strengths in computer science and cybersecurity. There's strengths in the creative industry in animation. There's strengths in digital pathology. These are world class. In South Wales, we've heard about the compound semiconductor strengths, the cluster that's developing there, companies like IQE and the associated catapult. In Dundee, the life sciences. In Southampton, we see optoelectronics, Across the whole of southern Scotland, from Strathclyde right across to St Andrews, we see the power of photonics, which is not a well-known but a very powerful set of industries in the UK. In Abertay, you've got computer gaming. In Lincolnshire, the partnership between Siemens and Lincoln University means that there's a new department of engineering, a great strength in gas turbines. Creative clusters, and I recently saw that in Cardiff, the link between the new BBC headquarters that's being built there, the university, and local businesses. And, of course, the very well-known technology cluster about Cambridge. So I think the question is, what's the recipe for this? And I would suggest that there are four key ingredients. The first of these is academic strength. The second is business strength. The third is local leadership, local government support, local leadership support. And finally, leadership itself is absolutely critical, and I'll come back to that. So I think it's worth looking back, actually, to the report that Andrew Whitty did in 2013, when he actually looked around the country and mapped out these and many more clusters in great detail. And it's worth starting with one of the first headings for that report, where he said, universities have extraordinary potential to enhance economic growth. And whilst I think that's well recognised, it's a point that's really important to make. And of course, it is their tripartite mission of education, of research, and that local civic and economic role. And they are absolutely key to the local economy, not only in terms of the research they do, but the skilled people that they provide. And of course, the challenge is to retain those skills, and that requires stickiness. And stickiness, it's what makes places. It's where people can live, work, and play, where there are the educational opportunities. So the first ingredient is universities. The second ingredient is business. And again, you can see that around the UK. You can see the effect of Rolls-Royce at Derby, the automotive industry, the aerospace and defence sector in the southwest, GSK at Stevenage, where there's now part of the cell and gene therapy catapult. Clusters around companies such as Kinetic, BT at Ad Astral Park, and of course the importance also of public sector establishments and government R&D. So the Met Office in Exeter, DSTL near Salisbury, GCHQ, a very powerful information technology cluster, the defence work around Portsmouth. The third ingredient, which I think is very important as well, is local government and public sector support. We have to be able to pull all the levers if we're going to make place work. And then the fourth, I think, is sometimes not sufficiently recognised, which is the power of leadership. And there is a breed of leader who comes either from academia and industry that they transcend boundaries, and they don't get up in the morning worrying whether they're a basic researcher or an entrepreneur or an innovator. People like Martin Sweeting in Satellites, David Payne in Optoelectronics in Southampton, Greg Winter, who picked up his Nobel Prize but also recently started a new company, Bicycle Therapeutics, John McKenney in Belfast, Philip Cohen and Peter Garland before him, who created the cluster in Dundee, Drew Nelson, who's been so important in compound semiconductors in Wales. And then companies and organisations that similarly can work across boundaries, so GCHQ, Kinetic, Rolls-Royce, BT, Siemens, there's a long list. So finishing briefly then with some of the things that UKRI is doing, a key commitment of the industrial strategy, and the great thing about the industrial strategy is that it looks at all the levers that need to be pulled. And that's going to be absolutely critical. So the commitment to 2.4% of UK GDP being spent on R&D, it's really important to remember that's an input. The target here at the end of the day is growth and productivity. And it only works if government funding leverages private funding. And typically we're talking about 2/3 from business, 1/3 from the public sector on average. The industrial strategy, as you've already heard, recognises the importance of place. It recognises the importance of e-infrastructure and data science. And it's just worth saying that with all of this, we mustn't forget that 80% of our economy is in the service sector. And I think there are some real challenges there because in some ways it isn't a sector in quite the same way as automotive or aerospace or defence. And it's going to need some help to self-organize. And I think that one of the things that's been impressive about the early development of the Industrial Strategy Challenge Fund is how the creative industries, which wouldn't necessarily have seen themselves as a sector, have actually worked together very effectively around some of the bids that have been put in. And, of course, the tremendous news is the £2 billion of investment from the National Productivity Investment Fund as part of the industrial strategy. So let me just turn now briefly to the Strength in Places Fund, because I think that builds on some of the things that I've been talking about. It recognises, first of all, that every region and nation of the UK has substantial strengths, and that at the end of the day, they're best placed to tell us what they need to capitalise on those strengths, not the other way around. I think that something that Bayes introduced a few years ago, the science and innovation audits, have actually been very helpful, because they've actually forced different parts of the country to think about what they're really good at. It is about making choices at the end of the day. And the Strength in Places Fund was first announced in the blueprints for the industrial strategy, the white paper. I'm not quite sure how actually a white paper can be blueprints, but anyway, leave that aside. But it's importantly, it stood alongside core government programmes such as the Transforming Cities Fund and the local industrial strategies. And I'll just touch on what's happened since they were first announced. So this year, at the autumn budget, the government added £120 million to the original £115 million programme, which brings the total budget for the period up to 21-22 to £235 million. This is a good amount of money. And this new funding reflects the government's commitment to support all parts of the UK to build on their R&D strengths. And it's something that we've been working on with the department since our official launch in April this year. We're now in the final stages of agreeing the shortlists of projects for Wave 1. The Strength in Places Fund is different to anything we've done before because it does explicitly link together regional R&D strength with local economic growth. And as I've said, it asks places to consider how their strengths can drive tangible economic impacts in their area. And it's about new and better jobs, increased inward investment, and improved skills base. It's about making places sticky, so there'll be jobs that will keep skilled people there. And it does bring together the key economic actors that I've talked about in the recipe for clusters: universities, other research institutes, PSREs, etc., businesses, and local government and other local leadership to design and to deliver the interventions. And all of this is done in close alignment with wider local economic plans. And we know that the local spillover benefits from investment in R&D are most acutely felt when they involve a range of local partners all pulling in the same direction. And by building on robustly evidenced local strengths, for example, through the science and innovation audits, we can ensure that we're concentrating our efforts and the efforts of those local partners on developing clusters that have real potential to be nationally and globally competitive. And of course, we've also heard a little bit about the Catapults programme led by Innovate UK. And this network of world-leading centres is designed to transform our capability for innovation in specific areas and help drive future economic growth. And of course, these are widely distributed around the country. So from high-value manufacturing in Strathclyde, satellite applications on the Harwell campus, the compound semiconductor catapult, the cell and gene therapy in Stevenage, the offshore renewable energy in the northeast, these are widely distributed. And I think another thing is the pulling all the levers. So when I visit research and innovation centres across the UK, it's the direct R&D investment is absolutely critical, but it is also the other levers: local planning, availability of skills, quality of local transport, the things that make places great that have a significant impact on the growth of R&D activity across our country. And so this needs to work alongside the government's £1.7 billion Transforming Cities Fund, which is focused on intra-city connectivity, which will be a key growth enabler, supporting people to move more quickly and efficiently both within and between largest urban centres. And it'll ensure that city regions have the modern transport infrastructure in place to oil the wheels of industrial development, complementing and then bringing in further R&D investment. So there's the local industrial strategies, and the first of these are being developed in Greater Manchester, the West Midlands, the Oxford, Milton Keynes, Cambridge corridor. And these strategies will be important for places in achieving maximum impact from the new UK Shared Prosperity Fund, which is a sort of critical factor when we leave the EU and will help to replace EU structural funding. So the places foundation of the UK's industrial strategy is part of a greater whole. And I think the challenge for all of us is to pull together to get the synergies and make sure that we can pull all the levers. And UKRI, I think, has an absolutely critical role in ensuring that place really does matter and that we build on place throughout the United Kingdom. Thank you for your attention.